Good Vach, today's daf is daf Ches in Shabbos. We're going to begin towards the bottom of Zayin Amud Beis, 6 lines up from the bottom by the 2 dots Gufa. I'm going to, unfortunately, be Makatzer. We're going to go through the Gemara quickly because this is a very difficult time, but learning is always the most important thing. We have to make time for learning. Gufa, begin with quoting the text that we had previously. Omer Chista, Noatz Konem Rishus HaYachid. If a person put a pole into a Rishus HaYachid, and on the top there's a space of Dalet by Dalet, 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim, mizorach v'nocha gabav, and he threw something up it from Rishus HaRabim that lands now on top of this Rishus HaYochid. So afilu gavol me'ama, even it's 100 amma tall, very high in the sky, the transferring from the Rishus HaRabim into this Rishus HaYochid, yachayid, because v'nei Rishus HaYochid ola ad rakia, as opposed to Rishus HaRabim, which ends at 10 tvachim, the Rishus HaYochid goes all the way up to the sky. Now, Gemara says, Lema Ruchitzo, the Omer Karebi. Let us say the Ruchitzo is actually holding like the opinion of Rebbe over here. What is that opinion? The Tanya. Zorach v'noach al-gabi ziz kolshu. If a person threw something and it lands on a ziz, a protrusion that comes out of a wall, and that is less than dalet by dalet, so in this situation, we're assuming over here that this protrusion is in the Rishus HaRabim, so Rebbe Mechai v'chacham potrim. So this sounds like Rebbe holds that this is something that's significant over here. So Gemara says, Alma la bo'ina makom arbal arba. You see, they don't need an area that's 4 tvachim by 4 tvachim. So therefore, this is consistent with what Rebbe said. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi, no, Rishus HaYochid, if it's in Rishus HaYochid, everybody holds like Rav Chista that it doesn't have to land on a place that's 4 tvachim wide. But here we're talking about a case that we had previously in the Gemara. Be'ilah na'omin Rishus HaYochid, the tree in the Rishus HaYochid, but the leaves, the nofo, no to Rishus HaRabim. V'zorach v'nochach anofo. And he threw this thing from the Rishus HaRabim onto the trees, which are in Rishus HaRabim, but the trunk was in Rishus HaYochid. So here, Rebbe Sarver, we had this Gemara previously, Rebbe holds that the person who threw over here, Amrinosh, they nofo, basar ikaro. You look at the leaves, which are in Rishus HaRabim, they follow after the trunk of the tree, which is in Rishus HaYochid. As opposed to the Rabbanim, Rabbanim Sarver, lo Amrinosh, they nofo, basar ikaro. They don't hold like that. The Gemara continues says, Amar Abaye, Sarah Kaveris Rishus HaRabim. Kaveris technically is a beehive, but it doesn't mean over here a real beehive. It means a kli that is fashioned in the shape of a beehive, which is a cylindrical structure over here. And he throws this from his Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim. Now, if this was a kli, you'd be chay for doing so. But the question is, does this Kaveris have the status of a kli, or does this Kaveris have the status of being a Rishus itself? And if you throw Rishus, there is no Isser, actually. It's only if you don't throw a kli. So Abaye says, Zora Kaveris Rishus HaRabim. If you throw a Kaveris from the Rishus HaYochid into the Rishus HaRabim, and this Kaveris has the status of being Gavoa Yud, it's more than 10 Tvachim tall, or at least 10 Tvachim tall, but it doesn't have a diameter over here of Vav. We'll see this is important because it's a cylinder, it's circular, so we have to make it into a square to see if it's dollar by dollar Tvachim. So something that doesn't have a width over here of Vav is considered no longer like a separate Rishus. It's considered like a Kli, and therefore Yechayev. But if it's Rach Vav, but if the width is more than Vav Tvachim, so then Pater, because this would actually be able to enclose a square that's 4x4 Tvachim inside of it. You have a circle outside a square, so if you have a 4x4 square, the way we figure it out in math is the hypotenuse is A squared plus B squared equals C squared, so if A is 4 and B is 4, so C, which is the hypotenuse, would be 4 times the square root of 2, which comes out to be 5 3/5. So therefore, in this situation, if it had a rachav, a width of 6, so that it could hold a space that's 4x4, and therefore, this would now have a separate status of Rishus. It would be Rishus HaYochid, and if you throw a Rishus HaYochid from Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, it's not technically going to be chayiv on an Issa Deraisa Potter. What's the reasoning behind this? My timer. So Gemara says, two terutzim. The first one is ef shel lekrumis shel kana shelo yalu lemalam yasar. This is like a wicker basket over here. So even though it's only 10 tvachim tall, some of it's going to be higher than 10 tvachim when it lands. So the little pieces of wicker are going to stick up more than 10 tvachim. And the din is that you have to have over here the entire object in the Rishus HaRabim. And here, if some of it's going to be above the Rishus HaRabim, because it's above 10 Tvachim, it's not going to be Chayev. However, Kof HaPiyah, if you turned it upside down, so then Shiv or Mashu, if it's a little bit more than 7 Tvachim and a Mashu, so then you'd be Chayev. Because we don't, in this situation, say Lavud. Lavud is a din Halach L'mosh B'Sinai, which means that if something is within 3 Tvachim of something else, we can connect them halachically and say that there's no space in between over there. Now, when it's turned upside down over here, so you have on the ground, when this item gets within, you're throwing it from the Rishus HaYochid into Rishus HaRabim, and it's facing down, so now when it gets within 3 tefachim of the ground, so we'll say it's now 2.9 tefachim from the ground, so it only is 7.1 tefachim. So the total over here is like 10 tefachim, and that is all within the Rishus HaRabim, so therefore you're chayev. However, if it's shivul mechtsa, but when you have it over here that it's 7.5 tefachim, let's say, so now as soon as it gets within the 2.9 tefachim of the ground, so the lavud kicks in, and it's as if it's touching the ground already, but since it's 7.5, so you have some of it sticking above the Rishus HaRabim, above the 10 tefachim of the Rishus HaRabim, and therefore you're chayev. Rav Ashi, however, disagrees. Rav Ashi Omer, afilu shivul mechtsa chayev. He says, even in this situation, you're chayev, because the principle of love doesn't apply over here. My taima, he says, mechitzos l'sochen asuyos. When we say love it, it goes down, that's because that's the normal way of the keli, that it's going in that direction. So here, the keli would be going up. It's not intended to go down. And therefore, the din of love doesn't apply over here. Amar Ula. Ula says, Amatisha Rishus HaRabim. If you have a post over here in the Rishus HaRabim that's only 9 tefachim tall, so it's still within the Rishus HaRabim. The Rabim Makasvet Lopim, people place things on this. 9 tefachim is a convenient size to put things on it. And now, in this situation of Zorach V'nocha Gabav, and somebody threw something more than Dal Amos away, and it landed on this, so this is like the Rishus HaRabim, because this is not considered a Mokum Ptur, and therefore you're chayed, because you through something more than Dal Amos in the Rishus HaRabim. My timer, because Pachos Mishlosha, because we said previously, if something was in 3 tefachim from the ground, it's considered that people will be able to step on it easily, Medros Darsi L'Rabim, because it's very easy to step on, because it's not difficult to step on it and keep on walking. But between 3 and 10, Mishlosha B'Atisha, we said in that situation, Lo Medros Darsi L'Rabim, people don't easily step on it, because it's difficult to walk around it. Likewise, it's also not a convenient height for people to place stuff on it. And therefore, not only will they not step on it, below katufi mechatzvei, they're not going to go and put stuff on it. So therefore, it's not usable between 3 and 9 tefachim, and therefore it's considered like a makom tur, and it's not part of the Rishus HaRabim. But from 9 till 10, but a post that is tisha, badei mechatzvei lovei, it's very easy to go and put stuff on it. And therefore, you're chayiv, if you throw something down at Amos, in the Rishus HaRabim, it lands on a post that's 9 tefachim high. What would be the halacha in regards to a hole in the ground? Does this have the same dinim of 9 tefachim? So Rav Yosef answers, he says the same thing applies. However, Rav disagrees. Rav says, it wouldn't apply by a guma. My timer, what's the reason it doesn't apply by a guma? Tashmi says, it's very hard to go and put something 9 tefachim down on the ground. It's not an easy usage, and therefore it's not an easy usage. It's just like 3 to 9 tefachim that go up, which we said, it's not an easy usage, and therefore it's not considered part of the Rishus HaRabim. However, the Gemara says that's not correct. Eisvei Rav Adda bar Masna l'Rava. Rav Adda bar Masna questions the statement of Rava, and he says, "Haisa kuposel menachas b'Rishus HaRabim." If a person has some sort of a box, a kupa, a chest, or a box that's in the Rishus HaRabim, and this box is kevoa asara uruchova arba, so it's a separate Rishus, it's more than 10 tefachim high, or at least 10 tefachim high, and it's 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim in its length and width, you can't take something out from it and put it into Rishus HaRabim, and vice versa. You can't put something from the Rishus HaRabim into it, because it's like carrying from Rishus HaRabim into Rishus HaYochid, or vice versa. However, the Gemara says, if it's less than a separate Rishus, it's less than Dalet by Dalet, so it's considered part of the Rishus HaRabim, so then Metatlin, you're allowed to move something within Dalet Amos, within Rishus HaRabim. And the Chayim Beguma, so the Guma is also called the Rishus HaRabim over here. So the Gemara says, my Lava Sefer doesn't go on the last thing that we just said, and you see that the 9 depth Tfachim over here in the ground is considered also like Rishus HaRabim. That goes against Rav, who said that it's not easily used, and therefore it's a Mokum Tur, and it's not like Rishus HaRabim. So Gemara says, no, Rav is right. Lo, Aresha goes on the Resha, the first statement that we made over here, that it's only talking about that if the hole is 10 Tfachim deep and 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim wide, so then it's called Rishus HaYochid, and then you're not allowed to do this. But challenge Rav again, Eisvei. Now we're going to deal with the din of Erev Tchumim. If a person on Shabbos is standing where he is, so that's his Erev Tchumim. He has 2,000 amos in every direction from where he is. But let's say he wants to make it in a different place. So he's allowed to go put food in another place and say, that I want to be my focal point for Shabbos. That I want to be the place where I have, from that spot, 2,000 amos in every direction. So Niskavi Lishbos Rishus HaRabim, if a person intends to make a certain focal point for himself for Shabbos, that he can go 2,000 amos from every direction, from that point, so all he has to do is v'niach eruv b'bor. He puts his eruv over there, but here he put it into a bor, he put it into a pit in that spot. Now, if it's l'mala mi'asara tefachim, if the eruv is actually above 10 tefachim from the bottom of the pit, so therefore it's not in a separate shush, so then he can reach it on Shabbos, he can take it from the Rishus HaRabim and pull it from the bor, because that's not a Rishus HaYochid, and eruv, and it would be perfectly good. However, if it's l'mata mi'asara tefachim, if it's below 10 tefachim, so then he can't get it. And therefore, ain't a ruva erev. It's not a good erev. The food has to be able to be taken by you on Shabbos in order to establish the air. Now, Hechidam, what are we talking about over here? If we're talking about a bar that has 10 tefachim in it, so ulamala means the dalai biosve, that he somehow raised it up from the ground over here. Dalai means to pull it up, to raise it up. So you're telling me that it's more than 10 tefachim above the bottom of the pit, and the tatoi biosve, or it's less than 10 tefachim from the bottom of the pit. That doesn't make any sense. The pit is Rosh Hashayochid. Mali l'mala, mali l'mata. Doesn't make any difference over here. Hu b'mokum echa, ve'ru b'mokum acheru. It's a pit. It's Rosh Hashayochid. So how does it help us over here at all to say that it's more than 10 tefachim or less than 10 tefachim above the bottom of the pit? He's in Rosh Hashayochid. The food's in Rosh Hashayochid. You wouldn't be able to take it. So obviously, elulav, the board, the less b'asar, we're talking about a pit that doesn't have 10 tefachim in it. So therefore, it's not a separate Rosh Hashayochid. It's only 9 tefachim. And yet it says Uktani Eruv Eruv. It says that it's a perfectly good Eruv. So Alma, what do you see from here? Tashmish Ayded Chakshmei Tashmish. So even though it's the bottom of this 9 Tefach pit, it's still called Rishos HaRabim, and he's allowed to go and take it from there because he's standing in the Rishos HaRabim. He's not moving it more than Dalet Amos. And you see clearly against Rabba that this is considered a Rishos HaRabim, not like Rabba says a separate Rishos. So Gemara says, Zimni Mishani, sometimes he gave this answer. Rabba would give this answer. Huve Ruva Bekarmelis. No, we're talking about he's in a Karmelis, and the Eruv is in a Karmelis as well. It's called Rosh Hashanah. I call it Rosh Hashanah to imply, like we had previously, we once had this Dorchak Teretz Lefish and Rosh Hashanah. It says Rosh Hashanah, as opposed to it's not a Rosh Hashanah, but it's still a Carmelis. It's not talking about a real Rosh Hashanah. That was the answer the Rabbah sometimes gave. The Zimun Mishani Le. Other times he gave the following answer: Who Rosh Hashanah? They were a Carmelis. It's talking about over here that he is in Rosh Hashanah, and in fact the Erev is in this pit over here, which is a Carmelis. A pit less than 10 tefachim is considered a karmelis, but this is the opinion of Rebbe, the Rebbe who, the Amar called Dover Shum Yishum Shvus, because when does the Erev go into effect? It goes into effect during the Bein HaShemashos of Shabbos, and that's called a Shvus. The rabbis over here said that you're not allowed to go and take stuff from a karmelis and bring it to Rosh Hashanah, that's only a din the rabbanon, so that's a Shvus. And therefore, Rebbe holds, Kol Dover Shum Yishum Shvus, Lokozu Olav Bein HaShemashos. The rabbis didn't institute any of the rabbinic prohibitions during the Bein HaShemashos point time. And therefore, the Erev actually took effect during the Bein HaShemashos period of time when you could, even on a rabbinical basis, go and get it. So therefore, it's not a problem. And furthermore, Rabbi says, "Lo tema dechui kod mechina loch." Don't say this is a dachuk teretz over here. No, ela davko kmin loch. This is the real teretz over here. It's not because we learn the Mishnah. If you have rakak mayim is a very small, shallow type of body of water, like a puddle, a big puddle in the Rosh Hashanah, and you have the Rosh Hashanah going through this puddle over here. So what happens if you throw something into this dalet amos hazorik lusocha arba amos? If you're 4 feet or 4 amos away from the puddle and you throw something into the puddle, you're chayiv. That's considered that you threw something down the Amos Rosh Hashanah. Now, the Kamu Rikak Mayim, what's the depth, the definition over here of the depth of a pool of water that it should still be called Rosh Hashanah? Pachos Me'asor Tvachim, it has to be less than 10 Tvachim deep. If it's more than 10 Tvachim deep, then it's a separate entity. And then the Brisa continues and seems to repeat the same thing. Rikak Mayim Rosh Hashanah Melechas Bo, Azork Nesocha Arba Amos Chayiv. It says exactly the same thing. If you throw a object for Amos and it lands into this Rikak Mayim, Yechayiv. So why do we say it twice? Bishlomo Rikak, Rikak, Trezim, why do you have to tell me Rikak twice? It's the same din. No, tell me a different din. It depends whether you need to tell me one time this din applies in the summer months when it's dry, and another time you need to tell me in the winter months when it's wet. Why? You need both? Because he's actually, if you only tell me it during the summer months, you know what? I would have said, you know what? People use that. They want that there because they want to cool off in the summer months. Because it's hot outside. Therefore, you walk through a little puddle, you don't mind so much. However, when it's colder and you don't want to get wet, so you might have thought that it's not considered part of the Rosh Hashanah because people don't want to step there. If it's, again, we pointed out many times previously, if it's something that people don't want in the Rosh Hashanah, they walk around it, so then you don't consider it part of the Rosh Hashanah. So I might have thought this is only applies in the summer that people want that pool of water there. They're walking barefoot. It's a nice, cool, refreshing way to walk, so they'll go through it. But in the winter, when it's cold, they don't want to get wet. So therefore, you might have thought it's not part of the Rosh Hashanah. So that's why it has to tell me in the winter. That's why you need one rakak. Musa, just tell me the winter. I don't know the summer too. If you only tell me in the Mosag Yishamim, Agaf Dibetane if Mikra Nochas. In the winter, everybody's muddy. So you don't mind getting your feet unmuddied by walking through the water. It's not that cold. It's in the Middle East. It's not that cold. It's a little bit cool. But your feet will get unmuddy. So you don't mind walking through the puddle. But in the summer months, when it's dry and dusty, you don't want to get your feet all wet because they're not muddy. Therefore, Tzrichos. You need to tell me Rakak twice. Once to tell me the din applies in the summer months, that it's Rosh Hashanah. And once to tell me in the winter months, that it's Rosh Hashanah. But why do you have to tell me that the Rosh Hashanah goes through this rakak twice? Elahiloch, we're talking about the Rosh Hashanah going through it. They didn't have to tell me it both times. So the purpose is teaching us Elalav. Shmaminot, the teachers over here, the second din, Hiluch, Aideh Adchach, Shmei Hiluch. They tell me over here that even going through it, Aideh Adchach is Shmei Hiluch. For the Hiluch going through, even though it's inconvenient, so to say, for it to go through, so nevertheless, that is considered a Rishus Rabban. But Tashmish Aideh Adchach, Lo Shmei Tashmish, as Rava says, using something that's 9 Tvachim down the ground, that's very difficult to use, and therefore we don't consider that part of Rishus Rabban. Oh, it's not a Dorchak Teretz that I gave you, Shmaminot, this is good Teretz. Now Gemara says, I'm Rav Yehuda. Hi, Zirzo de Kone. If you have a bundle of reeds over here, what is this bundle of reeds? So imagine that you have something that's standing upright on the ground. It's a vertical bundle of reeds over here. And Roma Vizakfe, and you toss it and stand it upright. Roma Vizakfe. So what are you doing over here? You're actually never lifting it off the ground. Part of it's always on the ground. You let it then fall, and you have what was previously the top now be on the ground, and you then stand that upright, and what was previously the bottom is now on the top, and you keep on doing that. So in this situation, lo mechayev ad de'okale, he's not going to be chayev over here in this situation, because that's not called actually picking it up. He didn't do a full akira over here. And only when you do a full akira would you be chayev for doing so. Mora says, now, omamar, we're going back and we're quoting something that we discussed on Dav Vav, and we said over there, Adam omen alu skupa, the person standing over here in the middle of the doorway of the house, in the threshold of the house. So no, Tomi Balabayas, we said he's allowed to go take something from the Balabayas. That's considered, the Balabayas is Rishus HaYochid, and he's in the Yaskupa, that's not a problem. Or he can give it to him or take it from him. And likewise, an Oni standing outside, no, Tomi Oni, the person standing in the Yaskupa could take from the Oni. Vinosin law, or could give it to him. In other words, the Yaskupa over here was not considered a separate Rishus. So Gemara says, Hi, Yaskupa Mai. What exactly are we talking about over here? This Yaskupa, this doorway over here, this threshold over here, right by the door. So, Ilema Iskupas Rishus Arabim. If you're telling me over here that this has the status of being a Rishus Arabim, so how can the Balabayas give it to him? No, tell me Balabayas, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. Hamefik Rishus Ayoch, Rishus Arabim. If the Yaskupa had the status of Rishus Arabim, so it couldn't give it to the Balabayas, so take something from the Balabayas, that would be carrying from Rishus Ayoch to Rishus Arabim. Are you going to tell me Yala Yaskupas Rishus Yochid, the Yaskupa has Rishus HaYochid status, so then, no Tomin Oni, how can he go and take something from the Oni on the outside? If he gives something to the Oni, he takes something from the Oni, so the Oni is Rishus HaRabim. If you're telling me that Yaskupa is Rishus HaYochid, you can't do that either. Elo, what must it be? Elo Iskupas Karmelis. We must consider the Yaskupa to be a Karmelis. And if the Yaskupa is a Karmelis, though, that doesn't solve the problems also. If you tell me it's Elo Iskupa Karmelis, so then, no tell the no silachila, you're allowed to do slachila, you'd be over in Issa Darabon. And sof Yisur, Mia Issa. Okay, granted, you're not over in Issa Daraisa, because we said going from Rishus HaYochid to a Karmelis or Rishus HaRabim to a Karmelis and vice versa is only in Issa Darabon. But nevertheless, how can you tell me you're allowed to do this? Sof Yisur, Mia Issa. It's at least in Issa Darabon. Gemara says, you're right. The Iskupa is not Rishus HaYochid. It's not Rishus HaRabim. It's not a Karmelis. Elo Iskupa, Mokum Petur Biamu. It has a status of being this Mokum Petur, which even mid Darabon, you're allowed to carry to and from a Rishus HaYochid or to and from a Rishus HaRabim. And why? It's smaller than 4x4, so it's not considered a separate Rishus, that's a Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, or a Karmelis, but it's considered a Mokum Petur. And a Mokum Petur, even mid Rabbani, you can carry. And this is exactly in accord with the Chiyosu of Dimi, Omer of Yochanan. When Dimi came very slow, he told the Talmidim in Babel, in the name of Yochanan, Mokum Shembo Arbal, or Ba Tvachim, if something is less than 4x4 Tvachim wide, so Mutu Livnei Rishus HaRabim, Livnei Rishus Yochid Lechati V'lov, both the people in Rishus Yochid could use it, or the people in Rishus HaRabim could use it. However, the only thing you have to be careful, Obavad Shalom Yechlifu, you're not going to go pass from one to the other. We can't use it as a stopping ground and pass the apple, let's say, from the inside and put it into the escupa and then have the Oni take it from the escupa and bring it to the outside. That you're not allowed to do. But each one, lechatchila, is allowed to go and put something into the escupa. Mark continues and says, Amar, Ubuvachlo Yi, Tomi Balabayas, and Osiloni. You're not allowed to go and take from the inside to the outside. The Balabayas can't give to the Oni, and the Oni can't take from the Balabayas, even though they're going through this escupa. So you can't have like a middleman in the Yaskupa that's going to be, well, it's perfectly permissible for me to take it from the Balabayas, and it's also perfectly permissible for me to give it to the Ani. You're not allowed to do that. And therefore, Ubavach lo yitol mi Balabayas v'nosil Ani, mi Ani v'nosil Balabayas, neither one is good. But if they in fact did this, so they're over in Issa d'Rabbanan, but they're not over in Issa d'Raisa, shloshim peturin, aval osur. They're not allowed to do this, mi d'Rabbanan, shloshim peturin, but it's osur to do this. They're potter mi d'Raisa. So what it says, Lame Matabi to the Rabba. But this seems to go against what Rabba said. What did Rabba say? The Rabba, Hamavichevitz mitchilas arba lisof arba mishus rabbim. If somebody goes to take something and carries it dalet arba mishus rabbim, so he's going from spot A to spot B, afal pishaviro derech alav, even though he's carrying it above 10 tefachim, so he starts off at point A. He picks it up, does that kira mishus rabbim. He then picks it up over his shoulder, which is more than 10 tefachim above the ground, and walks dalet amos and then puts it down. So it went from point A to point B. Dalet Amos of the Rishis Rabbim, but it didn't go through the Rishis Rabbim. It went through a Malkum Ptur. Above 10 Tefachim is a Malkum Ptur. So we say he's not allowed to do that. So Chayev, it says, it doesn't say that it's Potter Avul Asur. It is considered a real Isser over there. So how come by here, by the Iskupa, it's not considered an Isser Deraisa? So Gemara answers, Hosam Lo Noch, because in that situation it didn't stop. It was constantly being moved. He didn't stop and hold it above 10 Tefachim above the Rishis Rabbim. He kept on moving from point A to point B. He picked it up in point A, put it down in point B, and he never stopped, even though it was traveling above 10 Tefachim. That's why it's an Issa Deraisa. But here, in our situation, it stopped in the Eskupa. The Balabais gave the apple to the person in the Eskupa, and he stopped, he held it, and then he transferred it to the Yoni. That's why it's only an Issa Derabbanan. With this, we conclude today's shir.